Hello, everyone, and a big welcome to season 2017. It is the Super Footy Podcast. Yes, back again after a lot of discussion, no doubt, with senior management over the summer, but they've been given the big thumbs up to go ahead. Well, with a slight difference, I'm back, Anthony Hudson, and I'm joined by Mick Warner once again. Great to have you back, Mick.
G'day, Hutto, and very sad news that the great Sam Edmund,
Sad news, is it?
Well, intriguing news. After 5 years, Sam Edmund has joined Carlton on a full-time basis and has left the podcast, which allows you to introduce our new member, Hutto.
Well, it's great to have Lauren Wood with us, of course, part of the Herald Sun and Super Footy team. Lauren, great to have you with us as part of the Super Footy pod.
Great to be here. It sounds like I've got pretty big shoes to fill, but we'll do our
best. Not really, no.
Well, I feel pretty old, Hutto, because Lauren's father taught me in grade 5 at the Peninsula School. I'm pretty sure it was 1985. Were you born then?
No, I wasn't.
No. You were, so
feel old too.
Feeling pretty old, but
we do a segment each week with Lauren's father then?
Well,
stories with Mr. Wood.
Yeah, I think we could. Woody, he's a great teacher, grade 5 teacher. But it's not just about teaching, it's about money. And I believe, Lauren, that Hutto made a lot of money on the weekend. I read it in the press with the sale of his property.
Yeah, I did see that. I think they called it Real Estate Confidential. So he's reached, the level of celebrity to make the confidential pages.
What is the cutoff for celebrity to get into?
Super Footy Podcast, I believe. Thank you. It was a good weekend. I tell you what has happened since we last met. There's been a whole list of things, sort of like a Billy Joel song. But podcasts themselves have gone absolutely nuts. You know, the amount of people now that listen to podcasts, and like we're one of the original trailblazers.
Yes, we won an award in 2003 for this podcast.
I don't think there was even such a thing back then.
But yeah, listening to
podcasts. I've been listening to a whole heap of podcasts over the summer about the US election. I don't know if you caught up, but
fascinating.
Donald Trump won, and he's now the president. And about all sorts of different topics. If you like, whatever you like, there's a podcast for it, I've found. So it's very, very, so hopefully we'll get an increasing audience. And are you a podcast listener, Lauren?
Massive. Yeah, massive. And that's what, as you say, spent a lot of the summer listening to them in the car on various trips around. And so that's why I went to management and made sure we could get rid of Sam Edmund so I could be straight on here.
Well, tell us a bit about yourself then, Lauren. This is what podcasts are for. You know, you get to know people a little bit more.
It is a bit of interrogation. So I've been working in footy for a few years now. I started off at Inside Football magazine, where I think you might have spent a bit of time too, Hutto. Went through to MX, RIP MX, of course, the commuter magazine, and been up in Herald Sun Sport for about 2 years now, and now sitting opposite Michael Warner. So make what you will of that.
Importantly, who do you barrack for? Because we like to disclose that off the top.
We do, yeah.
Oh, do we? Jeez, you're putting me under the pump. We love all our teams equally here at the Herald Sun.
Rubbish.
Of course, but I did, I'll declare it.
So when you were young then, who did
when
you?
When I was young, I like to think I'm quite impartial now, but I did grow up as a St Kilda supporter.
There you go.
Thought your dad was a Collingwood supporter.
He is. He tried his very best. He and my auntie Jenny, they had us in the little Collingwood tracksuits when we were babies and all the rest of it, my brother and I, but got neither of us. He's a Richmond supporter and I was St Kilda.
This is fantastic. We've got a Tiger and a Saint. We should have a very good year ahead. Just before we go through some of the stuff that's happened, it's all about leading into Thursday night, obviously. Do you feel like it's been a good pre-season, a good off-season for the AFL and for footy fans? Is there a buzz around about the start of the season, do you think?
Yeah, I think there is. I mean, the JLT has copped a bit of flack, I think, for being a bit too long. I'd be interested to hear your views on that. I think two weeks is probably enough.
Yeah, I will predict there'll be at least one less round.
Definitely.
Of the JLT.
What, so two glorified practice
two
matches?
GLT,
whatever. But you do need to blow out the cobwebs in a practice format at some stage. You're saying they just do intra-clubs?
No, I'm just saying they'll cut it. It will be reduced, I suspect, next year.
Well, it is long, isn't it? I mean, every team plays three matches
has
a week off.
Yeah.
But you need
this week. Well, you'd think so, but can they play more intra-clubs? As you say, each team tends to have one.
It's not real an intra-club. You don't go in
it's
as
more
hard.
Real than
so, but do they go in as hard?
Hutto, there'll only be two practice matches next year.
I'm only per club. That's my guess. It's just a guess.
Well, you're very close to the AFL, so I
not that
tick
close.
That one off.
Probably folks. Closer than you. But not that. Most people are.
There has been been a buzz, though, as you say, and obviously AFL Women's kicked off straight after the season, which I think there was an element. We saw Princess Park that first night, 25,000, and another two outside getting apologised to by Gillon. Yeah.
Is that the PR move of the summer, by the way, the Gillon?
Sending him out.
Going outside.
Oh, if we're handing out awards, I reckon it was pretty good. No one could have seen that coming. I think there were a few AFL staffers even who were a bit shocked to see on Twitter that, hang on, Gil's outside and he's talking to, and is anyone out there with him? And it was a pretty awesome night, but there is that element, I think.
That filled the void
to that. Yeah, massively. There'd be people that, obviously there are a lot that sort of wanted to be part of it and, you know, to say that they were there for the first game, but I think there's a lot of people out there that just want to see a Carlton jumper or a Frio jumper or whatever it is, just running around out
there. Collingwood would lose like that was magnificent.
Well, I certainly think in the long term, if we're thinking about pre-seasons into the future, I think as AFL develops, and particularly as there's more teams, and that's a separate discussion as to when that time is obviously going to be right, but that can certainly take up more of the calendar, and we don't really need the JLT series to be on TV
I don't agree with that. It's totally separate competition. Are you saying for your footy fix
for your footy fix and to fill so that AFL is still being talked about, because that's what the AFL, I don't think they really like the JLT. It's great to get out to the communities, and that's what they'll still do. They'll still have matches in the country areas and so forth.
But you've got to play a practice game.
Yeah, no, you do. I'm not saying you shouldn't play any, but some people are suggesting that. I mean, imagine how much the unknown would be going into the year if we hadn't seen any team play.
Well, hamstring central is what you'd see.
Well, you're saying that, but we don't know that.
Well, even from your days as a lowly amateur player, you know, if you don't play that first practice match by quarter time, round one, you are screwed.
But the physical preparation's a little bit more advanced than it was for the Fitzroy Reds when I was playing.
Flip side of that, though, we saw Colin Garland on the weekend. He's done his ACL, and he's out for the year. So there would be players, I reckon, that are out there that don't necessarily love it for that factor, too.
Well, that's going to happen. Where do you sit, guys, on the Gabba? I know that this is a podcast, the perils of it, but the Gabba seems unavailable for the women's grand final. What do you think, Lauren?
Oh, your cricketers. I think they're at it again. The curator up there is playing for cricket, I think, or barracking for cricket. And obviously they've got the Ashes coming up in a little while and they want this time clear.
In 6 months.
But Adele, of course, she had her two concerts there.
So they probably shouldn't have let her on.
Well, not that we're, problem, you know, if you're listening, Adele, apologies, but your two
quite
concerts
a big fan
have.
Of the podcast too, Adele.
I reckon she would be. I reckon she'd be right into her footy, Adele. She's a great chick.
Her real voice does not correlate with her singing voice.
But that goes to a lot of singers are like that.
Are they?
Yeah.
Hilarious, though, apparently, from I'm hearing from everyone that was at the concert.
I do like some of her stuff.
She's, she's great.
Rolling
but,
in the deep.
Rolling. How's that go, Mick?
I know.
The only song that Mick normally plays on the podcast is the Richmond theme song. So.
I reckon we should bring a bit of Adele in that case. But, yeah, as I say, her two concerts have had an effect on the turf. They want a bit of clear air before
6 weeks to grow.
They've got 11 games.
That first test is far more important than the women's grand final.
But
it's 6 months
away. Exactly.
You've got to grow the pitch. Otherwise, it looked like that one in Bangalore the other day.
You're a cricket expert. You've travelled around the world watching our Australian cricketers and doing all sorts of things along the way. But what do you think, then, is 5 days really, in the whole scheme of things, we're tracking towards the Ashes, if they were to play it there on Saturday, the AFLW Grand Final, of course, Brisbane finished top. They haven't lost a match all year, have earned the right for a home final. Is five days going to make that much difference?
Play it at Allan Border Field next door. You probably get 10,000 people in there. How many people are really going to go to this game anyway, the grand final?
They're hoping for 20, I heard.
I think so, yeah.
In Brisbane with Adelaide.
In Queensland, and obviously against Adelaide, it's got its, you know, it's got its hurdles. But I think, again, same as what we were saying before about Carlton and Collingwood, there is a massive I was there element.
What about playing it at Metricon, though? Would that be such a silly
idea? No, that's silly.
Well,
that's a dip. Yeah, may as well be another state. Gold Coast and Brisbane.
But also,
the men are playing that night. So why wouldn't you go to your Brisbane? How many Brisbane fans would go? I'll go 4 hours early, and watch the game. I reckon that you'd pack it out.
It's a big day. Big day in the Queensland Sun. Oh. And I think the thing about Sun Smart here. But if you were to do it that way, that's what they're saying is maybe have the game at about 12.
I think he's got some inside information, Lauren. I think you'll find that is what will happen in about 2 hours.
I mean,
hours.
It's leaning towards that way. I think Adelaide Oval's allegedly still in the mix, which would be an uproar for Queensland footy fans. But I don't know. Play the game at 12 and clear everyone out and bring them all back in for the men's.
Mm. As long as that deck is right for the first Ashes test, I don't care.
Should the women's final be a transported game, or should it not just be at the MCG?
Like the other grand, it should be at the MCG. Well, yes, you're right.
How many would get to the MCG for Brisbane Adelaide, though?
Well, put it as a curtain raiser to Richmond Carlton. Maybe.
Well, this is the thing, and we're going to have it every year. There's no actual rule that says it has to go to the highest finishing team. They've just decided that they'd like to reward, I guess, the top finishers, which in this case is the Lions.
Which does make sense, really.
We're going to have this problem every year of teams having to wait until the week of and their families and their friends that all want to go and watch them, not knowing.
Well, Etihad outright.
Correct.
So why can't we play it there? Adele, she's done it again. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. Well, what has changed over the off season, do you think, in terms of going? I mean, we'll do our proper crystal ball look ahead, and before we go through some of the other issues, just quickly. But have watching the JLT series, has that changed your opinion about anything going into the season? Any teams or any? Is there anything that's really happened in the JLT that's made you go, oh, gee, I thought a team was going to be here, now I think they're going to be there?
Not necessarily in the JLT, but I think the last 48 hours for me with Collingwood, we've had news that obviously Jamie Elliott's missing round one. He's got his ankle issue that he's been dealing with. Jordan Dugowie, don't know what's happened there, broken hand
at home
on the weekend, so he's set for surgery.
What does that bring back memories?
Well, watching Dravid and Laxman put on about 500, I punched the wall there. Maybe with that partnership yesterday, he's done the same.
Maybe. Very frustrating. Maybe he wanted Maxwell to come on and bowl or something. I don't know.
Maxwell can't bowl. I thought that was a bit harsh to criticise Smith.
And well, he could have done something. So he just let him just... Anyway,
Smith was injured and couldn't bowl him.
You're doing your best podcast to turn this into a cricket podcast.
Yeah,
aren't
it's for another
you?
Podcast.
But yeah, as I say, and then of course Levi Greenwood, I think it's six for him. So, I mean, a lot of people don't have high hopes for the Pies anyway. I didn't have them in my top eight, but you'd hate to think that this is just the start of another one of those years for the Pies.
For Buckley. It's all about Bucks.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, what I took out of it was Richmond. They looked really strong. Oh. They looked as
it begins.
They looked apart from that first quarter against Collingwood. They looked like, you know, no one put them in their eight, including me. But they could probably finish ninth, Hutto.
So you just excuse that quarter against Collingwood?
No, I was very worried. But they fought back, and you know, the inclusion of those three guys seriously.
So Collingwood
into midfield.
Minus six players. Mind you, most of them aren't going to play round one, but minus six of their best team beat you, and you just think, oh, that's all right.
Well, if Richmond lose to Carlton on Thursday, this will be the earliest crisis in history. It will be, I'm not joking, a crisis. Now, they will win, surely, but if Hardwick was to lose that game, it will have started. Would you agree with that?
Well, it will be.
The way that Carlton...
They got Collingwood the week after. It'll make that a very big
That's the crisis game, isn't it?
Yeah. You can't lose to Carlton.
So what would Damien... Okay, you'd be Damien Hardwick. Lauren, you've just gone down to Carlton by 5 points. Damien, are you under pressure now?
Oh, you know, it's all part of the process, I suppose. We're in the four walls. They love a four walls down at Punt Road. I'm sure Dimmer wouldn't mind me saying that. But no, they'll try to
Lauren,
maintain calm.
They cannot
afford
to lose that
absolutely
game. I'm not.
Not
kidding.
As I say, they will try to, as an outer sort of impression, to try to maintain the calm, but you'd have to think there would be massive alarm bells.
With the pickup truck and the chicken manure, he'll be back. And Al Payton will be driving.
All right, well, let's just...
What about your cats, though?
Yeah, I think they've been a genuine concern over what we've seen. It's just so hard to know, again, what's real and what's fake news out of the JLT.
Fake news. There it is.
I think Sean Spicer needs to get a bit of a run at some stage as well.
Was people having a go at the TAC fake news over the Joel Selwood incident?
As in...
Well, it was a bit harsh on the tack, did you think? Or do you think that they missed an opportunity?
I think it was up... Well, I think it's a really difficult one. That was certainly within their rights to do what they did, put it that way.
Given that they'd written to them in previous incidents, said if it happens again...
Yeah, and Geelong had actually said that. But yeah. I think Geelong felt that the TAC's message has changed a bit. Now it's gone from being you're a bloody idiot to towards zero, let's work on this together, all that sort of thing. And they thought that would be a better way of approaching it. But in the end, it's up to the TAC. But it's a hard sponsorship to lose because it's a partnership that you can't really have with
anyone
else.
They're in Geelong, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Mm. So it's a harsh decision. But What else? While we're on things, the other things that have happened on the off field, we talked about Collingwood, the whole Whitfield, Gubby, and then Barmy ends up at Richmond. That was one of the big
very
footy.
Messy, yeah, wasn't it? And I think Gubby was probably, how long was he actually Collingwood football boss? About a month.
Yeah, and in that time they recruited Chris Mayne.
Yes, and Wells.
And Wells. Of course, Daniel Wells.
Were they Buckley's choices, do you think, Lauren?
Well, his views have been really interesting to listen to over the last few weeks, haven't they? He's been maintaining that Wells will have a presence this season, whether that's his view or not. Probably remains
games,
to be seen.
He said he'd be happy
yeah,
with.
Which it's going to be a pretty costly 15 games. Yep. He's on a fair packet by the sounds of it down there, and that calf is proving really troublesome. But it could come back to bite.
Well, it seems to me that Bucks, I think, has been happy to travel the journey. Like, they did all the rebuilding, and he just wanted to see the journey through. And if it didn't work well, bad luck, you know. And I think he was willing to go down with the ship. But Gubby's come in probably with a bit of imprimatur from Ed to go, no, we want, you know.
We're in the window.
We're in the window, or we need to, those players are there. Wells, I don't get the Chris Mayne thing. I really don't.
Not the money and the length.
I don't understand that. So that could be a legacy that is an issue. I don't mind the Wells one as much. I mean, he did play 19 games last year.
Yeah.
So I think that less so. And maybe Mayne will end up being an important player for them, but they need to get some luck with injury, that's for sure.
From what we hear, Gubby will be back next year. Probably not as football boss, but in some capacity.
At Collingwood.
Working at Collingwood or Times Square?
He's going to be running, is he going to be running the netball was going to initially?
Yeah. No, I think he'll be back in some sort of list management capacity.
One thing we saw over the summer was, I think it was about 10 or 11 changes of leadership. It's kept us going through the preseason, the new captains, and who is going to be in the leadership group. And I give the stars to Richmond and Collingwood.
I love that. Reducing it.
So good.
For three, everyone will follow. They'll have to have half decent seasons or no one will follow. But yeah. I've got no doubt other teams are going to reduce their leadership. Official leadership.
It got
positions.
Out of hand, didn't it? When you had more players out of it than you.
Look at Geelong. I think we ran a photo in the Herald Sun of Geelong's leadership group last week. It was the length of the Great Ocean Road. I think there was about 9 or 10 players in it. You know, it's more than half your side.
And then it really does lead to why aren't I in it?
And the Jack Rewalt. You can have leadership programs, can't you? But you don't necessarily have to have 8 captains. Mm. So I like you. I'm with you. What Collingwood and Richmond did, spot on.
What was the go with Richmond, though? Were you guys surprised by the commentary? I know Barmy sort of took to the radio a few times to have a bit of a whack at the media, but
Geelong
got ridiculous.
Collingwood announced theirs in the same week, and I didn't hear anyone saying Geelong and Collingwood are holding out they're disorganised. So I thought Richmond got picked on a little unfairly.
Let's talk about the Bulldogs, because they obviously were the great story, and you would have been at the AFL launch last week, wouldn't you, Mick?
I wasn't.
To see the video?
No. Like, what do you think of the ad? It got a lot of pump up. No,
the film?
The one guy where he tackles the bloke through the window.
And,
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Is he? I don't even know who he is.
Oh, come on,
Mick. Who is he?
Come on.
What's he on?
He's Thor.
Who's Thor? I'm still in Paw Patrol, mate.
Bevo's been out with the kids' books again, which is great. Last year he had the Salty Dog, and this year he's Dr. Zeus. Which so you should be across.
No.
You're up to reading Dr. Zeus
yet? It's a bit
yet?
Complicated for my young fella. But
start him early.
You
Dr.
were there,
Zeus.
Lauren, in the room when he rambled on with that. What did you make of it?
Yeah, well, the room, there were something like 1,260 people, which I think even the Bulldogs officials were pretty overwhelmed to get that many at a season launch. They're Hawthorn numbers.
That's what they used to get to
basically.
Matches back in the...
Yeah, that's right, out of Whitten Oval. So, it was a massive night. And, of course, every time the coach hits the microphone, you never really know what he's going to come out with. But they just lapped it up, I tell you. You know, he manages to find football analogies in all sorts of things. We saw Charlie in the Chocolate Factory last year. Of course, Charlie with the gobstopper, putting it back on the desk was one of his pre-match speeches to the players, and you just never know what he's going to come out
with
next.
I love that about Bevo. I'm a massive sucker, for the pre-match address where you've got a theme and you do something. It's because so many coaches are just so boring and process-driven.
You'd love to see him doing his research, wouldn't you? Is it just sort of flicking through the Showtime movie channels? Or
he's a big reader, though, isn't he? He reads various stuff and just looking for anything that he can use to impart on his players. Do you like that, Nick?
Do I like reading? Or, that's not what was the question?
Well, do you like that style?
I absolutely love it because, and I love that story about Bevo that when they recruited him, they got this company from England that looks at emotional intelligence.
Yeah, and he broke the record.
He broke the world record.
Is NFL that absolutely coaches, true? 100% that story, or is it fake news?
It could be fake news. It was said to me. But I think he does have some emotional intelligence. Hutto, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I remember Ox.
That's what coaching is.
David Schwartz talked about
with players, getting them to do what you want them to
do. It is. Yeah, and he coaches the person as much as he coaches the player.
Look at Liam Picken. An example from a tagger scrubber, with all due respect, to a guy who should have won the Norm Smith Medal as an attacking midfielder. There's not many coaches in the game who could do that. Or even think to do that.
That's the interesting thing, isn't it, this year too, of course, bringing Travis Cloak in. What sort of impact he's going to have there. Obviously, a player on the outer last year.
60 or 70 this year.
Well, even this week, like, the, you know, Western Bulldogs playing Collingwood, the AFL's just set it up beautifully.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a bit of talk of how good would it be to see him kick five, but I'm all for 15. It's close. He's 35 out.
No.
He's got to kick it to win. Like,
and
I reckon
does.
That
so
is
does
just,
he, he does.
Does well, he? I reckon he does. Yeah. Yeah, I do. I think I got out there for a couple of their JLT games and he's just so happy.
I reckon it starts online and just hooks away to the right.
No, I mean, they might break the world record attendances with round one. They've put that fixture together very nicely.
Clever.
Okay, well, how many are there on Thursday night?
Richmond? Mm. Oh, it'd be 80. Oh, well, Carlton's form, maybe.
I actually question.
There'll be a lot of Richmond people there.
What number they will get for that game, because it's a school night. I don't know how many. Yeah, the next day is school. I don't know how many young Richmond fans will go to school on Friday. They might be given
still out.
Historically, they've pulled about 75,000 average, have they not?
I think so, yeah.
So, yeah, I think they'll pull 80.
Yeah, same for Essendon Hawthorn. I think Essendon's already predicting 80 plus.
It's a Carlton home game, I think. What about Friday night, the Bulldogs and Collingwood?
86,000. Massive crowd.
I think you might be.
Do they unfurl the flag, or is it a Collingwood home game?
Must be a round two. Yeah, Collingwood home game. So
still, all the Doggies will be there, and the Magpies they'll turn up.
How good would it be to be a Doggies fan right now? Like going into the season, you're still living on that euphoria of you guys probably
are
can't
you?
Remember.
I was going to say
you probably can't.
Don't know what
Saints
like.
And Richmond can't probably remember that. Mick, can you remember what that's like?
I was 6 months old with the 1974 flag, and 6 years old in 80. Can't remember either of them. Remember 82 just. Do you think Eddie will sing the song on the ground after the game, whether they win or lose again? Did you see that footage?
With the women on the weekend?
Yeah.
It was the end of the season, though, Mick.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was because they didn't make the finals.
Okay.
Their netball team's not going that well either, so
they might sing a song.
Yeah, they had their eye on four premierships at the start of the summer. And
yeah, naught from two so far. But anyway, just on the Dogs, you talked about Cloak already, and they obviously get Murphy back and Cramery back.
Which is huge.
Wallace at some stage. Now, they'll probably lose a couple. I've already lost Roughhead along the way. But
he'll be back.
Yeah, he'll be back.
And Bontempelli is the one who's going to go to another level.
Another level.
You would think.
Maybe,
No,
so do you think they'll be right up there? Because everyone's arguing. Oh, sorry. Some people are arguing, oh, they finished seventh really last year. But I don't think that's a great argument because it was so close. I mean, they won a lot of games and they had a tough run with it. They had a really bad run with injuries. So for them to win as many games as they did last year, if they have just an even run with injuries this year, they should improve on that.
The problem they've got and everyone's got is the team that they just got over the line in the prelim, which is GWS.
Just before we go to that, but there's also the hunger factor, isn't there, with any reigning premier? Like, have they trained to that nth degree and have they done, are they mentally wanted as much as they did last year?
I would have thought that Bevo's wouldn't have stamped out all that complacency, wouldn't he?
Well, you try to.
You never really know, do you?
History would say it's hard. I mean, Hawthorn made a bit of a liar.
And the Lions.
Yeah, and the Lions. But there's been a lot of other teams that weren't able to go back-to-back.
Well, even if they never won another one for another 60 years, at least those Bulldog supporters got to experience something that Laura and I haven't yet.
One day.
But
one
let's talk about the Giants, because most people say that they're going to go through undefeated.
Yeah, I've been asked a few times over the last few weeks who I think is going to win, and I feel like I'm not exactly going out on a limb when people ask you who you think is going to win the premiership.
It's
a bit weird, isn't it?
It's boring to say them, but it looks that way. I just want to know when they do win it and they do that lap. Well, do they even need to do the lap? Because the lap with the cup is all about embracing your fans and long-suffering fans and your family, but there won't be anyone like that there. They just hang out in the Ponsford stand pocket.
They suffered sort of that horrendous preliminary final loss last year.
Well, it was actually.
Yeah, it was.
But that prelim gave them credibility to me as a club.
Yeah.
That if they had have won it last year, and I don't think they made the finals the year before.
Yeah, it was too soon for them to win.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And now they've had this pain, genuine pain. I think that established them as a bona fide footy club.
Who would present the Premiership Cup to, as the former
great? Kevin Sheedy, for sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
But now employed at Essendon.
Oh,
that's interesting,
that
isn't it?
But that doesn't mean you can't do it, does
no,
it?
No, it'd just be a bit weird.
So who have we all got GWS in our grand final?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Who have you got with them?
Swans, I think, will be right up there again. Although I was a bit worried to see that Heaney had glandular fever. I don't know how long he'll be out. But
I reckon probably one of the birds for mine. I reckon maybe Hawthorn or West Coast.
Hawthorn.
Probably West Coast first.
In the grand final.
Yeah, I just can't write them off. I think they're a bit like your Cats were for such a long time, Hutto. They just won't go away. I think Ruffy factor is going to be huge.
O'Meara factor.
O'Meara factor even bigger.
What a steal.
And that's what I mean. You just can't write them off. So, yeah, one of the birds.
Yeah, well, I've got a bird too. I've got West Coast, but there's still that doubt about them winning in Melbourne. But the kid Mitchell looks like he's probably not going to be a bad
Another
recruit
steal.
For them. And they'll win so many games over there that they should be well placed. But, yeah, I mean, it's just so tight. I got last year's Crystal Ball 2016 from the Herald Sun Footy Mag. Because my point here is that we just don't know, do we? I mean, I feel like I've spent 8 weeks on radio previewing the season and looking at things, and you think, well, you don't really know. I remember I had West Coast as the Premier last year. Grant Baker had West Coast, Glenn McFarlane had Hawthorn, Sammy Landsberger had West Coast, Eliza Sewell, West Coast, Lauren, you had West Coast, Rebecca Williams had Hawthorn, Mick, you had Hawthorn, Ando had Geelong, Scotty Gallen had Geelong, West Coast for Ron Reid, Geelong for Jay Clark. I can't see...
It moves on.
I can't see too many Western Bulldogs.
No one had the Dogs Porky. In their eight.
Brownie had the Bulldogs eighth, Jono Brown. I can't see them getting a mention. You, Mick, you, to your credit, you had them fifth. You had them third line, so that was...
there we go.
That was impressive. But
what about Sam Edmund? Where did he have them?
He had them sixth.
He had Carlton in there as well, which is a bit embarrassing.
Yeah, I can't believe that. But we are guessing. So what are the certainties of the year, do you think? What are the cert things that we know to be true going into the year? Is there anything that we know? Like, who are you, the Giants will be up there. That seems pretty certain, but... If they had a bad run with injuries, are they as vulnerable as anyone else, or does their depth mean that they will still make it anyway?
They've got a lot of depth. They've got about 25 first-round picks on their list. So, I mean, Deledio is a bit of a worry because they got him and he's got the old man's disease with the calf. But what's the certainty? Well, there'll be a crisis of some sort, a coaching crisis. Mm. It's
just we're poised on the coaching crisis front, aren't we?
We are. I was surprised to see one columnist say that Bolton should be thrown into that mix.
Well, Patrick Smith said it in the Australian.
It was Patrick, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of the strangest articles I've read over the summer.
That was what we were saying. You're talking about certainties for this season. I think everyone is resigned to the fact that Carlton isn't going to be up there, and that's okay.
Yeah,
I read that article as though he'd been told something.
Mm. He doesn't...
Yes.
Normally.
He doesn't.
I can't believe what he could have been told, though.
Well, I think he was told that if they have a bad year, the coach is under pressure.
But it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they've got to be showing... They've got to keep showing that they're improving, but their list's still got to go through. They've still got to see off Simpson and some of those other older guys.
Yeah.
And they've just got to put time and games into their kids, so... That was a strange... I mean, he talked about them having a poor year last year. They had a very good year last year.
Yeah, it wasn't as strange as his disgraceful article about James Herb, but that's another matter.
That is another matter. What about the Bombers then? Well, you're mentioning that.
I threw them in the eight, but having seen a bit of the JLT, I'm not sure I'd now do that. That was last November. I threw them in there. They'll be better, obviously, than last year, but... I'm just not sure that they're going to gel in time. They probably will on the back end of the year.
Yeah, I tend to be the same. I tend to think similar things, that they could be up there. They could be one of those teams fighting for the eight, but probably not. But, you know, their forward line looks better if Hooker comes back in and they have
They lost the ruckman.
And Danaher, they lost the ruckman early, although Bell Chambers played on the weekend, so he's not going to be far away.
Yeah.
But they're smaller players, Fantasia, and he's a ripper.
Oh, he's a gun.
Green they've got great from Brisbane, yeah, if he
McGrath
plays. And McGrath looks like he's going to be a 200-gamer. So
yep,
I think they're smaller players around that forward could give them much better yep scoring power. And their midfield, obviously, Parrish will be better, and they get Joe back. So
you're selling a good message there.
I'm a believer. I reckon they'll be right up there, you know, in contention for the eight. The hunger factor, I think it's such an immeasurable, isn't it? And there'd be so much, you know, particularly from Job, I would imagine, of wanting to make a real statement. And, you know, even him coming back, I think it surprised quite a few people who thought he might be done with it. He, of course, lost his passion for the game
and
a couple
Brownlow
of years ago, and the Brownlow, of course, too. So, yeah, I think you can't measure that, and it's going to be massive.
It'll be interesting to see with 12 guys. I don't think they all play in the team, do they? But 12 guys having missed a season, you know, they say when you come back from an ACL, sometimes it takes a while. Will that affect them?
Well, we've seen the JLT. Does that change you?
That's what I'm saying.
Does it make you think they will or not?
No, I just think they'll be a bit slow out of the blocks. Okay. They're a pretty good list. Mm.
And train too. Like you sort of think your ACL, you know, laid up watching Netflix
for
a lot of the year, whereas these guys were
running with the Bulls.
Running with the Bulls and put through the paces at St Bernard's.
Designated Survivor. Has anyone seen that on Netflix?
No.
Have you got Netflix?
No, I have got it, but I don't watch it.
He's often on Paw Patrol.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. Yeah. That's a good one to watch.
Anyway. Nickelodeon is where I'm at the moment.
Very good. What about, so just give us your, who drops out of your eight? I mean, North is the easy out. And
okay, I've taken it.
I've done that too, don't worry. Is there anyone, who else? Because have you got Melbourne and St Kilda both in?
I've got St Kilda in. I think Melbourne lost their last game last year by 110 points. So did Richmond, actually. But I couldn't quite squeeze them in. But obviously Melbourne and St Kilda are the two exciting young emerging teams. Hawthorn might be the other one who could potentially fall out.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, completely agree about Melbourne. I've got the Saints in, and I think 11 of the 18 captains have put the Saints in. It's an exciting one this Saturday. I think the fact that it's at Etihad probably plays a bit of a factor. Obviously, the D's haven't had much luck there, particularly against the Saints. Mm-hmm. But they've always been the measuring stick against each other, haven't they, those two teams? They're right in the same pocket of age group.
Yeah.
Reckon the Saints might just pip them. Maybe not go too deep into September, but that's all right. It's all about the build.
And Nathan Fyfe next year, from what we hear.
So you think that's real?
Mm. Well, it was
real
was
news
your,
or fake
was
news?
That your story?
No, it wasn't my story.
I thought I heard you link Fyfe to.
Oh, well, I mean, he's been linked around.
Linked.
I think the Saints are probably more likely to end up targeting Lachie Whitfield. I think that's real.
He's from Mount Martha. In fact, he's a peninsula schoolboy.
God's country down there.
He was probably taught by your old man.
Let me know when you're finished. I think he's still contracted though, so they'd have to do a fair bit of.
Well, now that they haven't lost all their salary cap space, I know they've got a hell of a lot of good players to squeeze into that cap. Which, by the way, we still don't know what the salary cap is because the pay war is ongoing.
It rolls on.
Anyone smell a rat there?
No, I don't. Do you?
No, I'm just starting to think.
Because it hasn't happened.
I was
certainly given every indication that it would happen before round one, and that hasn't happened. But I think it'll. I haven't heard of any major dramas.
Yeah, but if you wanted to avert a crisis, would you tell the other party that you're going to get what you want? We get into round one, and then you turn around and say, "Look, actually, we just can't quite get it done." But I think I'm with you. Something will get done, but it's just bizarre that it's unfolding into the season.
Before we finish, let's have a quick look at round one. Coaches and then Robbo's top 50. So coaches and then players. Of the coaches under the pressure, I mean, they're all probably under equal pressure in many ways, aren't they? Buckley, Hardwick, Hinkley. Is there anyone else on that list? Is Chris Scott?
Well, Bolton, according to your mate.
Yeah.
Chris Scott, yeah, well, he's about to get a new contract, is he not?
Yeah, he is. What about Rocket Ead?
Yeah, under huge pressure. The whole club. I think the fact that Mark Evans was sent there showed you how concerned the AFL are about where that club's at. Mm. 1 year head start on the Giants. So I think Rocket's out of contract. He'd definitely be under pressure.
Have you got a feeling on the other, on the Buckley, Hardwick and Hinkley?
They've just got to win. If I was Port Adelaide, I'd get rid of the chairman before the coach. I think the chairman, David Kosh, spending too much time worrying about what jumper they're going to wear in China rather than supporting his coach. So,
can I ask you this?
But you can never remove the president, can you? It's always the coach.
If Collingwood, Richmond and Port Adelaide don't make the eight, will any of those three coaches survive?
Yes. I think Hinkley's the biggest one. As you said, there's that sort of, not lack of support from the top, but it's going to be a massive year for him. I think Hardwick can survive. Hardwick can survive, I think, if they miss the eight.
What would they have to do?
Well, he could because he's got a 2-year contract.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas Bucks is the one that's put it on his own head of,
and he's out at
if
the end
we don't
the
make the finals. It's on
but
me,
he's changed that, know. Hasn't he?
Yeah, well, sort of has, and Ed, at the behest of their administration. So when it comes down to is the faith still in him to a degree at the club?
Yeah.
Or do they just run out of excuses?
Or are they going to have excuses? You know, well, now, as we mentioned before, Dugowie, Greenwood, Wells, Elliott, is it going to become that situation where they say, well, you know, we're full of injuries and there's not much we can do about it?
I would think, to answer your question, Hutto, that yes, all three of those teams would need to make the finals for their coach to stay in a job, including Hardwick.
Okay. All right. Well,
would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't. Not definitively. I think there's, like, if Richmond...
Bad run of injuries or something.
Yeah, well, there's that. But if Richmond play well and contend for the finals and finish, dare I say, ninth, then with a year to go, I think Hardwick could survive as long as they play a better brand of footy and they're genuinely... competing hard. And I think the same with Collingwood, and I don't know whether Port will have the, in the end, whether they would remove Hinkley either. So I think there's the potential for all three to survive, but you'd have to think that the odds are that at least one of them will go.
Maybe you'd think that they'd have to renew Buckley during the year, though. You're not going to get to the round 23 and, you know what I mean? So his is a bit more pointed because he's out of contract.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, before we finish, quickly looking ahead to the round, Richmond just have to win, don't they?
Have to.
Friday night.
Or Art Payton's truck will be there.
Friday night, it's hard to see the Pies.
It is now.
The Bulldogs now.
It is now with those injuries.
Definitely.
Then into Saturday's games and...
Who plays it?
St. Melbourne and Saints. I think is Etihad.
Essendon
and
Hawthorn.
I think the Saints will win at Etihad, and then blockbuster the march from Fed Square and all the rest of it for Essendon.
Sydney and Port play. I'm doing that game. Like that's the game that's been talked about the least.
Yeah.
Funny that. Where's that being played?
Up in Sydney. At the SCG,
Sydney for sure.
So
you'd
probably go for the Swans there. What about Essendon and Hawthorn then? Does anyone think Essendon could actually beat them?
Round one, things can happen. Outside the trend, but I wouldn't have thought so. I think the Hawks.
Yep.
Although I know Hodge, which was a staggering decision to drop Luke Hodge.
Which if they lose...
Why would you drop Luke Hodge?
If they lose, do you reckon there'll be scrutiny on that decision?
Yes. I think
Is it a bad decision though, Mick?
Yeah, it is. He should have rung up and said, look, I can't make it. But with these older guys, they're allowed to miss some sessions. It just seems like you're penalising the team. And the supporters.
Yeah. Well, I guess the view...
And he's got a lot of credits in the bank.
Yeah, he has. But the view was internally is that he set really high standards as captain. And then the moment he's not captain and he doesn't fulfil those high standards, how can they even get away with it?
Yeah. By just saying, Luke, don't do it again.
Suns and Lions. That's another one that they wouldn't... That's a high-cost loss for the Suns if they were to lose that.
Oh, would it ever be?
They look good. The other day for a half against
Definitely.
The Dogs.
Yeah, and at Metricon too.
I'm going to go the Lions. I really like what I'm hearing out of there.
I bumped into Gaz the other day at the...
Said, when are you coming home?
I said, when are you coming home?
What did he say?
He said, let's just keep it... Keep it
are we on the air?
Just keep it secret for another year and then I'll be there.
He is a certainty to come home.
He was probably joking.
A certainty to come home. They should have let him go last year.
But how would Geelong get him?
Well, he said he didn't. It wasn't about money. He just wanted to come home.
Well, that's one thing to say that, but also,
well, how do we get you back on the podcast?
How do they?
Wasn't
they
about money.
That's for sure. How do they do the deal? What did Geelong give up for Gary Ablett? Let's say he has a very good year, but not amazing. So he's still a.
Well, you're the Geelong man. You tell us.
No, but how do you judge a 35-year-old or whatever he is?
Well, according to Mick Malthouse, not that highly.
Was that real or fake news?
That was fake news.
That was extraordinary, wasn't it?
Wow. When he left the other Ablett out and had James Clement in ahead of them,
I think he was the narrow miss.
That's an opinion game.
It is. Yeah, that's what it's all about.
And Hurdy was out as well, and Buckley.
Mm.
What was his? How did he leave Junior out? I mean, I know Senior didn't play well against mixed teams in grand finals.
Well, no, but he played all right in 89 grand final.
But what's Junior done for him to not be?
I don't know. What was it? Did it have a justification? I think it was a bit harsh, but anyway.
Yeah.
What was your question?
I can't remember.
Oh, Ablett.
Ablett, yeah. Anyway, so don't worry about
He'll
that.
He'll get back. He'll get there somehow.
Yeah, North, back end it.
Yeah.
North at home against West Coast. That'd be a big loss for the Eagles, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Eagles.
Yep, Eagles.
With Drew Petrie to get some sweet revenge.
Mm. Adelaide. That's another one for the round, isn't it?
Yeah. Adelaide and the Giants.
Oh, the Adelaide where's that play?
Adelaide.
Could go either way. Going to go the Giants, though, because I've said Adelaide that they won't lose a game.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably lose round one.
Adelaide are going in with the non-JLT for their midfield, aren't they, really? Like,
what's that mean?
Well, Sloan hasn't played.
Didn't play, yeah.
Thompson hasn't played. Probably won't play round one.
Tex got a hammy.
Tex is...
Is he going to be right?
Hamstring soreness.
Oh, I'll go the Giants.
All right. Yeah, me too. And I'm going to this one as well. The Dockers and the Cats.
Where's that?
Oh, it's over there, isn't it?
The main stadium.
You're calling that one, are you? Red eye.
Very unbiased. Actually, I'll be a bit late next week.
Geelong will win that by a landslide.
A landslide?
Yeah.
See, I would have said between 10 and 25. Not exactly a landslide, but I reckon Cats.
What about the third test? What do you think's going to happen? Two wickets down.
I think we're in trouble.
Yeah,
we are in trouble. And I don't think anyone around here wants to see Virat celebrate.
Oh, he's the Douglas Jardine of the modern era.
All right, Robbo's to finish with Robbo's top 50.
Yes.
Had Fife ahead of Danger, ahead of Buddy, and Tom Lynch up there as well.
Yeah, for a start, I thought it was a bit poor that another organisation tried to steal that concept during the week. I think you got it right, the Chief.
Go with the original bloke that did it. Anyway, go on.
No, we'll talk about that off air if you like.
Probably a good idea.
Lauren?
Yeah, I agree. I think I probably would have had Paddy at number one. Robbo and I were just having a chat about it in the office then. I think just because of the leg. And, you know, we just don't know with Fife. He's showing all the signs. But Tom Lynch has been an interesting one. Of course, the people have got the chance to put their top 10 in on the website. And not a lot of love for Tom Lynch, which has been really interesting. And I think that's an element of playing for Gold Coast. Like, this guy is an out-and-out gun, but just because we don't see a hell of a lot of him.
Yeah, I haven't seen a lot of him, I've got to say.
Has he elevated himself?
That he's a...
So, sorry, can you give us the top four again?
Fife, Danger, Buddy and Lynch.
Mm.
Has he elevated himself? I mean, this is part of this.
Well, he hasn't gone ahead of Buddy, has he?
Is Robbo saying this is what will happen by the end of the year? So,
but he may well, but I'm happy with that. Where do you have Dusty?
Would you have had Fife or Danger one or two?
Well, I think that it's not how they went last year. It's what he thinks if they were both fully fit.
And who had a better year, Danger last year?
Fife's first 14 weeks or whatever it was was better than what Danger did last year.
Okay.
Do you agree?
Oh, don't know. I think it's about level.
Okay, level.
The season doesn't go for 14 weeks.
I think people agree that was the best 14 weeks I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Except Mick, who left him out of his top 25.
Scary thing is, though, Selwood said the other day, Danger is going to get even better this year.
That's what makes it so
it's exciting.
To pick Geelong, though, about where they're going to finish. Because if Dangerfield and Selwood are fit for the whole year, they'll contend again. But if they're not, well, they could go anywhere.
I thought he had Rance in his top five.
Yeah, I think Rance was five.
Do you think Rance has gone past Scarlett?
Not yet for longevity, but I think he's close in terms of... he's probably more of an attacking player at times than Scarlett.
That's a big concession from Hutto.
Massive.
But
he's got a tattoo of him.
He's still got to do it for a bit longer, I would have thought.
Yeah, and maybe playing a premiership or three.
Do you think that's going to happen?
No.
Anytime
soon. Definitely get one.
Think and want are two different things for me, I think.
Sam Hu, that's what they're saying at the end of this first podcast. Thanks for being with us. You can find us again next Monday afternoon on the Superfooty website, iTunes and SoundCloud. For all your other news, don't forget to follow at Superfooty on Twitter and use the hashtag SuperFootyPod to get involved with comments or questions ahead of the next episode. That's it for today. There'll be a lot to talk about after round one next week. Catch you then, and thanks for being with us, Nick and Lauren.
Welcome, Lauren.
F1,
as they say these days. Series 6, F1, season 2017.